بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، فمن تركها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, simple deen to follow. And Allah has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Deen is very easy. It is for us to understand the deen. Respected elders, in today's discussion, I would like to mention something about Salat. The importance of Salah, and this word Salah, what it means and how it has been derived, and also what is meant by why Iqamah Salah, establishment of Salah, and then inshallah how Salah is important to the body, the mind and the soul, and also the three basic postures in Salah, that is standing, going in ruku and sijda. What are the importance of those postures? First of all, why stand? Why go to ruku? Why go to sijda? Then that sequence, we stand first, then we go in ruku, then we go in sijda. Why that sequence Allah wants us to adopt? Why not go directly into sijda? And these three, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do it? Then also, in between, we have the qoma and the jalsa. The qoma is that in between the ruku and standing, when you come out of the ruku, you stand, then you go into sijda. Why we stand there? Then in between the two sijdas, we have what we call the jalsa. Why we have the jalsa? And after two rakat, we have jalsa, ula, the first jalsa. Why we have that? And after four rakats, we have the jalsa akhira. Why we have that? However, I don't think so I'll be able to cover all that, but we can try to cover some certain aspects of it. The deen of Islam is very complex as far as wisdoms and secrets and philosophy is concerned. Everything in Islam, we know why we're doing it. If we do not know, it does not mean we should stop practicing it. Respected elders, if you look at this word Salah, Sawad Lam Ha, and you look at the dictionary, you will find it means to correct, to rectify, to set right, to redirect that which was going off course, to bring it back on course. And the Arabs, even before the preaching of Islam, certain times you read in the kitabs the advent of Islam and coming of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, technically speaking, that is wrong, because the advent of Islam is from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, what he preached? He preached Islam. All Anbiya alayhi salam, 124,000 plus minus, all of them preached Islam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to finally preach Islam as a universal deen. Respected elders, the Arabs of those days also used this word. How they used it, when they used it, why they used it, for what purpose, you understand the explanation. If they wanted to straighten a crooked wood, they had a wood that was crooked, and now they wanted to straighten that crooked wood. So they had a procedure to follow. What they did, they dug on the ground a furrow or a canal. They dug that groove. Now when they took out that soil, they kept it aside. Then they put that crooked wood over that groove. Obviously, the crooked wood cannot slot into that groove. Why? It is crooked. Then they took the soil that came out from there, they placed it over the crooked wood. Please imagine what I'm saying, so you will enjoy it. After that, they took live coal, live cinders, and they placed it over the sand. So now if we have to look at it cross-section, then we have got an empty groove. On top of that empty groove, we have got a crooked wood. On top of that crooked wood, we have got the sand. And on top of that, we have got live cinders. We have got these live cinders there. And they knew how to modulate it and fluctuate the heat. Out of experience, they knew what to do. So they applied the heat from top. The heat should go from, obviously, the live cinders onto the sand, onto the wood. And they were able to do that until that crooked wood straightened. And when that crooked wood straightened, they were able to see it. How they were able to see it? Naturally, obviously, because the sand will fall down. When the sand falls down, it means that crooked wood has straightened and slotted into that groove. When that crooked wood has slotted into that groove, obviously the sand will go down. They know now that wood has straightened. So they will, in ecstasy and joy and in delight, they will say, Salu al-Hatab, that the wood has straightened. The wood has straightened. The crooked wood has straightened. Allah Rabbul Izzat uses the same word for our salah, meaning if we make salah how salah is supposed to be made, our crookedness will go away. Our crookedness from head to toe will go away. Our crookedness as far as belief will go away. Our crookedness as far as transaction will go away. Our crookedness and waywardness as far as social life will go away. Our evil character will diminish. Our bad personality will have to be straightened. Everything of human being which is evil and bad will have to be rectified and corrected via salah. Provided that salah is made how it's supposed to be made, then we'll have total results. Everything, every bad quality, every evil trait, everything that is wrong in the head and the heart will be rectified, corrected by a salat. Just like the crooked wood has come right, our entire life will come right, from belief to actions. How that happens, I'll give you one example and proceed. Otherwise, I can talk about this for the whole session. For example, when a person just lifts his hand and says, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. What is must come in his head now? Rectification of belief, aqeed. No one is great, Allah is greatest. And the belief that Allah is greatest hasn't sunk into my blood, your blood. We still feel that the people who have got the atomic bomb, hydrogen bomb, and those who have got the artillery, and those who have got the machinery and weaponry, we still believe that they are strong. And here we are doing this 5 times a day, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greatest. Sahaba Ikram, students and disciples of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they said Allahu Akbar, they knew what this meant, that Allah is greatest. No one besides him is great. Whole of our belief structure, respected elders, will be rectified on this single statement at the starting of our salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa aqimus salah. Now, the Arab, when water is moving, and the water is running, and the water is not stagnant, and the water is flowing, and when you bring that water to a standstill, and when you bring water to standstill, what it becomes? Ice. Water, when it's moving, is not ice. When you bring the moving water, when you bring it to a standstill, it turns into ice. When running water, moving water, flowing water comes to a standstill, then the Arab says, Qam al-ma. The water has stood up. The water has stood up. Meaning what? That the water has solidified. That the water has become firm. And the water that was moving has strengthened and now stood up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wa aqimu salah. There, establish your salah. See how that water, when that water is ice, it is solid. And when it is solid, it is firm. Meaning, be firm in our salat. Be constant in our salat. Be regular in our salat. Establish the salat. And when this word is used, meaning that the establishment of salat has to be done with all the faraiz, the prerequisites, the wajibat, the sunnah, the mustahab. The more we put into our salah, the more effort we make on our salah, the better our salah becomes. But we have taken salah for granted. Neither we do not understand the importance and significance of salah, or we have now become very lazy. As far as salah performance is concerned, and performers are concerned, there are 3 categories. The purpose of salah, respected elders, understand firstly, is ta'zim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to respect Allah. Is to honor Allah. Is to worship Allah. Is to revere Allah. That is the purpose. And, respected elders, one group is those who, when they make salah, that they revere Allah and respect Allah and honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that this feeling that they are in salah perpetrates throughout their 24 hours. And that is very difficult. That is a rarity. And that is the quality of those human beings which are Anbiya alayhi salam. To remember Allah 24 hours of the day, that is the speciality of Anbiya alayhi salam. and respected elders, the purpose of Salat is to bring you and I back onto remembrance of Allah, respect of Allah. That is why we have got this spacing. Some other discussion when I come, I will explain to you why we make Zuhr, Zuhr time, Asr, Asr time, Maghrib, Maghrib time, Isha, Isha time, Fajr, Fajr time. That's another discussion. But one of the reasons for spacing is that the forgetfulness period is revived now, and again you are reminded, come back, respect Allah, so that you can last for the next 2-3 hours. Respected elders, the second group are those when they are making salat, are focused on Allah. They worshipping Allah, respecting Allah, revering Allah, honoring Allah. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner that we see Him. And if we cannot do that, know fully well, He sees us. He sees us. Respected elders, in salat, a person at least should have that. Am I standing correctly? Am I going in ruku properly? Is my sijda correct? If we can do that, then when we come out of salat, outside the masjid, we'll worry, my transaction, is it right? My dealing, is it performing to Sharia? My behavior with my family, is it how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to have it? Our social life, political life, economical life, is it in conformity with Sharia or not? And third category of salat performers, respected elders, are those who have taken salat for granted. They just come, make it like a custom and a ritual, do not know what is going on, do not know how to stand properly, do not know how to go in ruku properly, do not know how to go in sijda properly, not worried and perturbed what to read, when to read, how to read, not bothered whether the tajweed is correct, not interested whether my salat is valid, let alone having a chance of acceptance, and making salat for the sake of salat, going for Jummah because others are going for Jummah. I will go for Eid when I want to. I will attend the janazah if someone close to me dies. Otherwise, I'm not interested in salah. The utterly disobedient and transgressing ones. Respected elders, one poet, he says that there is a hand and a tongue, and hidden in the bosom is my heart. By hand is implying the limbs of the body, and by tongue implying the tongue that is linked to the head and the heart. And the heart, you and I know that the heart is the king of the body. The heart rules the body. Everything else, the limbs are the subjects. The heart is the key. And these three things, respected elders, are for salah, a close contact with salah. The body, respected elders, the limbs of the body, they are in obedience. They are waiting for the instruction. They are waiting for the command. They are waiting. The imam says, Allahu Akbar, we stand up. The imam again says, Allahu Akbar, we go in ruku. So the limbs of the body, they are waiting. They are waiting for instruction. They are waiting so they can become obedient to Allah. They are waiting so they can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their movement. Just as in salah, that they are waiting for the instruction and command of Allah, outside salah is supposed to be the same thing. Waiting for the command of Allah. How can I strive in the path of Allah? How can I spend in the path of Allah? How can I sacrifice my energies in the path of Allah? How can I help Islam? How can I promote and protect and defend Islam? And the tongue? The tongue is there to praise Allah. The tongue is there to make dua. The tongue is there to hymn the praises of Allah, and to hymn the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to seek what we want. And the heart is there to get and to express gratitude to Allah for the boons and favors which Allah is giving us. The boons and favors that we have just taken for granted. The faculty of thinking, the faculty of moving, the faculty of seeing, the ability to speak, the ability to hear. Everything, respected elders, we have taken for granted. The heart is there, supposed to be there, to glorify Allah for His numerous boons and favors He has given us. And these three things, respected elders, we find in Salah. Man is standing, waiting for the instruction. The Muslim is waiting, what I am going to do? I must go into ruku, I must go into sijda. He's waiting for the command. And from his tongue, he is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why he must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For the numerous boons and favors. Respected elders, now we are standing, going to ruku and sijda. These three postures are a speciality of the prayer of Muslims. No other religious group prays standing, going into ruku and sijda. No other religious group on the surface of the earth. Some stand, some sit, some go into sijda. Ruku is a speciality of Ummat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Abu Bakr Jassas writes in his Tafsir Kabir. Now, and Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah alayhi says that amongst the shiar of Allah, signs of Allah, Salat is a sign. You go to any airport, any place, and if you have to observe and see a person standing, after a little while he goes into ruku, he or she, and then goes into sijda, you know for certain that this is a Muslim. Cannot be any other person but a Muslim. No other person does this. Whether you are in Cape or Cairo, whether you are in Jakarta or Jamaica, you'll find that if a person is standing, going in ruku and sijda, that is a Muslim. Respected elder, now standing. When you start standing. Why stand? When you go to the king, when the subject goes to the king, then he stands before the king. When he stands before the king, he stands in humility, in meekness, and he wants from the king. And he would stand in respect, in awe, he'd stand with dignity, and he'd stand focused. That is exactly how we're supposed to be standing in Salah, with dignity, with honor and respect, focused. A person comes to your shop, respected elders, especially someone who's coming to collect some money from you, and he's not focused on you, will you contribute to him? The person who's coming, the collector, he also knows that when I come here, I have to be focused. I have to talk to him. And when the subject goes to the king, what does he do? Does he say to the king, in his first statement, does he say to the king, give me this? He doesn't say that. He spends time praising the king's good qualities, good attributes. He praises and then he'll put his request forward. Exactly the same thing we are doing. We are standing in front of the King of Kings. We are standing in the court of courts. We are standing in front of the judge of judges. Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly says, meaning that when you stand in Salat, you are standing in the presence of Allah. When you stand in Salat, you are standing in the presence of Allah. And that is why we are saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. What do we do? We're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are saying that He is the Rabb of the entire world, that He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. And then we put in our request, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, guide us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. That is why we are standing. And that is why we are praising. And that is why we are reading Surah Fatiha, all rakat. Why we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have to stop. The reason why we stood, you understood. And you have been told. Standing is the first form of
humility.
Second form is sijda, ruku. Third form is sijda. The lowest form of humility is to stand. The second stage is ruku. The third stage is sijda. The highest form of meekness and showing humbleness is sijda. That is why it's coming last, not coming first. And it's coming slowly so that you do not go into spiritual ecstasy too quickly. Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.